is the final edition of our series on David. And in today's text, we find ourselves with a front row seat or a backstage pass to the passing of the torch ceremony from David to his son Solomon. In today's text, David calls all of the people of Israel who are responsible for the flourishing of Israel together, along with those who are responsible for his personal estate, to witness this passing of the torch ceremony to Solomon. David has reached an age in his life where he knows that he has more days behind him than he does in front of him. And so he wants to make sure that not only does Solomon know what to do, but that all of Israel knows what God is saying to them. Let me first say that this is a momentous occasion for Israel, because this is the first time in the history of Israel that the throne was being transferred to an heir. If you remember, David ascends to the throne from Saul, who he was not an heir of. So David recognizes that he has a limited amount of time. And so David does what most of us do, or what most of us will do, because I got a while, when we realize we are amen, right? When we're entering into the end of, y'all better say amen, of our time. David goes back to the thing that is really on his heart, which is to build God a house. If you remember, we talked in 2 Samuel that David wanted to build God a house, but instead of that, God tells him, no, David, you can't do that. Instead, I am going to build you a house, and I'm going to establish your house and your throne forever. If you remember, this is the last time where we talked about, if you remember, the difference between a good thing and a God thing. And we said that it was better for us to do the God thing. But what we didn't address when we talked about that is what comes with letting go of the good thing. It's difficult often to let go of the good thing, because often the God thing doesn't seem like a good thing, because when God presents the God thing, it often comes with trouble, with mess, with humility, with dipping ourselves in a dirty pool 7 times, with getting on a cross. And it's even more difficult because for most of us, our good thing actually seems like a God thing. Like, I want to take over the world for Jesus. You know, I want to be a lawyer for Jesus. I want to be a doctor for Jesus. And Jesus is saying, no, I have something else for you. And it's like, but that's a good thing. So why I gotta let go of my good thing for this God thing? God tells David, you can't build me a house because, David, you are too bloody. Yeah. He says, God told David, you can't build me a house because David was too bloody. Yeah, that's what he said. It's in the text, right? I'm in the Bible. We in the book, right? We in the book. David says, God, you did choose me. You chose me amongst my tribe of Judah. You chose me from my father's house, from amongst the people of Judah. You chose me amongst all of my brothers. But I can't build you a house because I'm too bloody? I bring that up because for a few of us, this wrestles and messes with our picture of what success for our life looks like. And oftentimes we find ourselves questioning, God, am I wasting my time? God, I'm 40, and God, it don't feel like I've done all of the stuff that I was supposed to do. God, I'm supposed to have made more of an impact in this world by now. But the reality for us is that success in God's kingdom is not based on our will or our plans, but it is on what God wills and what God's plans are. For some of us, this is difficult to reconcile. It has been difficult for us to reconcile. And if we're honest, y'all know I'm gonna keep it honest. I'm gonna keep it 100. It's caused some of us to doubt God or to maybe not fully want to worship and serve him because God, I don't think you called me to this. Now, I think you called me to more. And it's called us to ask God some questions. Y'all see some heads nodding like, yeah, you're right. It's caused some of us to wonder if we're really in the will and in the plan of God. Some of us, it's also caused us to stay on jobs for too long. Guilty. For some of us, it's caused us to try to work harder at our job because maybe the reason I'm not getting promoted is because I'm not working hard enough and I haven't made the right connections. And so let me put in a few more hours and let me go to a few more networking events instead of spending the time doing the thing that God has really called us to do. We must remember this, and this is my first point, that the blood on us, it might keep us from building the temple, but it does not keep us from the promise or the blessing of God. Let me say that again. The blood on us, it might keep us from building the temple, but it does not keep us from the promise or the blessing of God for our lives. Coming into agreement with God's vision and God's plan places us in the place that God desires for his followers. It brings us into a place where we realize, my thought for the day, the blessing of brokenness. Because what we find is that when God breaks us, it is because at the same time, God is blessing us. And what we experience in the brokenness of God is the God thing that will always lead us to God's blessed. Richard Pratt says it like this. He says, he makes an interesting statement by saying that failing to realize the unique role that God has given his people in the kingdom results in a vacillating between self-degradation and self-importance. When we find ourselves fighting against the will of God, we find ourselves somewhere between the place of self-degradation and self-importance. And in the kingdom of God, we find our life by taking up our cross and losing ourselves in Christ. So for us, the blessed place will often look like a broken place because in the kingdom of God, being broken by God is a blessing. Sit on that for a second. Sit on that for a second. So David, you're too bloody. David says, I can't build God, a house. I recognize this, but Solomon, through you, God is going to establish his house. How does he do this? He tells him, if you want to establish that you have to do the God thing. Had David not followed the God thing in his life, do y'all realize that he would have never accomplished all that he had accomplished? This is what he is communicating. David was similar in this moment. He's showing him that he was called to prepare the way for Solomon. So all of the territory that David conquered, all of the land that Israel conquered, all of that was the same thing and material that Solomon would use to build God a house. So had David not submitted to the will of God, Solomon wouldn't have had what he needed to do the thing that God wanted him and David wanted to do. And for many of us, we are fighting God's plan because we don't recognize that even though we might not be called to build the house, God is using us to prepare somebody else to build the house that comes after us. Sometimes it's our child that might be the one that builds the house. Sometimes it might be our daughter that builds the business. It might be our nephew. It might be somebody in this church. But God uses us even when there is blood on our hands. David communicates to Solomon that there is only one way to be successful, and that is to follow God. David tells him, he says that in order to be successful, you have to seek out all of the commandments of the Lord, to know the Lord and to serve the Lord and to do it with a singleness of mind and a willing heart. This is my second point. David is giving Solomon godly wisdom, and he is giving him the keys to his success. This wisdom boils down to, again, knowing God and serving God with a singleness of mind and a singleness of heart. What he's telling him is that you have to know God. You need to have an intimate and up-close relationship with God where you search out the mysteries of God that lead you to rely solely on the Word of God. All of it, not the parts that you like. All of it, not the parts that are only applicable to the people that you don't like, but serve and find God and do everything that God tells you with a singleness of mind and a willingness of heart. Because this is what transforms us into the image of Jesus. This is what empowers us to be the Sadokim that we are called to be. Knowing God and having an intimate relationship with God, knowing that this is how we live, we move, and have our being, empowers us to do and be the thing that God has called us to be. What it also does, when we follow God with a singleness of mind and a willingness of heart, is it leads us to focus. It leads us to not be, as the Bible says, blown away to and fro by every wind of doctrine. It makes us not be, as James calls them, double-minded in all of our ways, because he tells us that a double-minded person is unstable in all of their ways. And when the Bible talks about being single-minded, it's not just talking about our mind. It's not just talking about our mind. It's talking about the realm of the soul, where our intellect, where our emotions, where our thought life, where our heart sits. So when James and David are saying, serve God with singleness of mind, what they are telling us is that a life of a person whose heart mind and emotions are not aligned will not fully operate in faith because double-mindedness creates instability and instability creates doubt. And when we operate in doubt, James says we cannot expect anything from God. Matthew 21 says, truly, if I tell you that if you have faith and do not doubt, not only will you do what has been done to this fig tree, even you will say to this mountain, be lifted up and be thrown into the sea, and it will be done. For whatever you ask for in prayer, in faith, you will receive. So we want to serve the Lord with singleness of mind, willingness of heart. What does he mean when he talks about serving? Serving means to become a slave to it, become burdened by it, to cultivate, to do the work. And most of us have learned to operate with God from a place of duality, where our heart says one thing, but our spirit is saying something totally different. Come on, we all gonna tell the truth today. Where Jesus is saying, don't do it, and you saying, but I'm about to do it. He's like, don't say that. You like, but they deserve this. I'm about to say that. Where he's like, believe in me, but God, I don't know if I believe in you. All of us have this duality in us that if we are not careful and if we don't daily submit to God, what will cause us to be in a place where we can't receive from God because our doubt will cause us to move from a place of faith. So we have to daily surrender to God. Daily surrender to God with singleness of heart and mind. This, in this place of duality, is where the enemy would love to keep you and I. He would love to keep us doubting the plan of God, which causes us to not fully fulfill what God has designed for our life. And just as David is teaching Solomon how to build God a dwelling place, he's not just talking about a physical place, but he's talking about a physical place and a spiritual place. God has called each and every one of us to be a part of the building of the kingdom of God here in the earth. God has created us to build what Erwin Entz called a beautiful community. It's the product of being who God created us in a beautiful place, in a beautiful community where all of us can flourish. That's my third point. Sorry. Had David not settled. On being obedient to the God idea, he would not have embraced the preparation of the tabernacle. And as we saw last week and in previous weeks, anytime David moved in his own power or in his own strength or in his own way, it opened the door for something bad to happen. What we learn from David is that God's ways lead to the flourishing of all creation and all humanity. And anything that is apart from God's way leads to destruction. Building a flourishing community where God dwells invites the opposition of the enemy. So David leaves a message with Solomon saying, even though the enemy is going to attack you, be courageous and act. And we must be committed to pursuing the way of Jesus Christ, even in the ugliness of our who we are, even in the messiness of what comes with it, even with our misunderstanding. We must be faithful and committed to the beautiful community where every person, every man, every woman has the place and the space to flourish as God has designed us to be. We must be committed to the way of Jesus. We must be so committed to the way that we are willing to kill our fleshly desires and needs. Brothers and sisters, even in David's brokenness, David was beloved by God. Even in his brokenness, David was blessed by God. The blessing of God, here it is found when we have intimate relationship with the God that makes us right, with the God that makes us blameless, with the God that makes us new, with the God that pulls us out of a system of sin that only leads to death and destruction. This is the blessing of brokenness. And do not believe for one second that because of the blood on your hands that you are not blessed and beloved by God. Because the blood that we have is the blood of Jesus. And what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So we can come into the presence of God wholly and fully, even in our brokenness. As a matter of fact, Jesus is saying, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is the house that Solomon is building. It is a place of rest. Rest for your weary soul. Rest from all of your burdens. Rest from your care. Rest from the thing that weighs you down. Rest from all insecurity. Rest from all anxiety. Rest from the broken systems. Come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. This is the blessing of brokenness. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. God, we thank you that through the brokenness, the blessing, and being beloved of David's life, that God, we get to see you in a different way. Yes. That we get to realize that God, that our brokenness does not keep us from being beloved or blessed or cared for by you. Father, we thank you for your word, which frees us. We thank you for your son, who saved us. We thank you for your blood, which washed us. Yes. Now, God, we pray, Father, that you, God, would continue to form us and fashion us and shape us into who you called us to be. God, we release the good thing and hold on to the God thing. For we honor you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.